This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. State Senate seats like the one Bill Brady just quit don't open up that often.
There have been a lot of phone calls. And I have to say, I'm very impressed with the list of candidates that is developing.
Hear from the Republican County Party chair who controls the largest chunk of the vote to replace Brady. Plus, law enforcement and prosecutors say they are none too keen on a sweeping new criminal justice reform bill that has dropped in the Illinois legislature. Nursing home operators say it's nearly impossible to keep the coronavirus out of facilities in McLean County. And a Bloomington Normal drummer has a new advice book for musicians titled, You Got the Gig? Here's How to Keep It. All that and a news update on the way. This is Sound Ideas on WGLT.
Support for Sound Ideas comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology, the best hearing device center in the Pantograph Reader's Choice Awards for the sixth year in a row. Bloomington Normal Audiology thanks the listeners and their continued vote of confidence as the leaders in hearing and technology. With a practice featuring five doctors, including two who wear hearing devices themselves, BNA takes a genuine interest in each patient and helps you keep hearing the most important sounds of your life. More information at bnaudiology.com. Bloomington Normal Audiology, here for you.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Let's run down some of the day's top stories. Democrat Michael Madigan is suspending his campaign to be the Illinois House Speaker. Madigan has long been one of the most powerful politicians in the state. He's been House Speaker for all but 2 years since 1983 and also chairs the state Democratic Party. In a statement, Madigan says his suspension is not a withdrawal from the Speaker's race. His announcement effectively makes the campaign for House Speaker to be a free-for-all. Democrats hold a supermajority in the chamber. 19 Democrats say they would not support Madigan for Speaker following his connections to a federal corruption investigation involving ComEd. Madigan has not been charged and denies wrongdoing. State Representative Dan Brady says he's not ready to rule out Madigan keeping his seat, but the Bloomington Republican says he'd like to see someone in leadership who can be more of a unifying force.
I look for someone who has some accomplishments of being able to be more bipartisan, reasonable in their thinking, and when we agree to disagree. It's not going to be a person that wants to get even and have politics for personal destruction.
Brady says the Democrats will need to find a compromise candidate for Speaker because he says the progressive wing of the party doesn't have the votes to elect someone without the help of moderates. The McLean County Health Department reports 10 more COVID-19 related deaths and 278 new confirmed cases over the weekend. The new deaths include 7 long-term care facility residents. All 10 were older adults in their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. McLean County's death toll since the start of the pandemic is now 131. There have already been 30 COVID-related deaths reported in the new year. Governor J.B. Pritzker says regions that exceed certain health metrics could see relaxed COVID guidelines as soon as Friday. Region 2 that includes McLean County has met the benchmarks for several weeks. County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight says the region has to show it can continue to meet those targets before it should expect to see more businesses reopen.
They don't want, you know, us to be yo-yoing back and forth. So if we are maintaining these levels that have been set and based on science, we're going to need the community to continue doing all the things, even if we do relax those mitigation strategies.
The mitigation metrics are based on testing positivity rates and hospital bed capacity. Bloomington Normal Hotels were among the top recipients of the state's business interruption grants for pandemic relief given to McLean County employers. 14 businesses in the county received $100,000 or more. 5 of those are hotels. They include Fairfield Inn, Hampton Inn, Holiday Inn and Suites, Park Regency, and Residence Inn in Bloomington. This is the state's second round of emergency assistance grants. The state awarded $275 million to 9,000 small businesses. Commerce Bank says its employee-funded political action committee will no longer give money to members of Congress who have impeded the peaceful transfer of power. It's one of several U.S. businesses that announced similar moves, including Facebook, Microsoft, Marriott, and Dow. Commerce Bank says it condemns violence in any form. It says the actions witnessed last week are abhorrent, anti-democratic, and entirely contrary to supporting goodwill for Americans and businesses. Commerce Bank has 3 branches in Bloomington Normal and 5 in the Tri-County area. This is Sound Ideas on 89.1 FM WGLT and WGLT.org. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
Support for WGLT comes from Bloomington Normal Audiology. This week, BNA premieres its new educational video series, Hear My Story, featuring real local patients like Bruce Beck.
Blindness cuts you off from things. Deafness cuts you off from people.
Bruce's full story can be found at bnaudiology.com.
You're listening to Bloomington Normal's public media. The chairs of 5 different county Republican parties will meet later this month to appoint a replacement for former state Senator Bill Brady. The votes in that process will be weighted based on the amount of votes Bill Brady received in each county in the 2018 election. Jim Rule is chairman of the Tazewell County Republicans. He controls over a third of the appointment vote. Christine Hatfield spoke to Rule about how the process works and what he's looking for in a new state senator. Rule says it's been busy.
There have been a lot of phone calls. There have been a lot of phone calls from candidates themselves. And I have to say I'm very impressed with the list of candidates that is developing. There's a lot of good people out there that are throwing their hat in the ring. They all bring something to the table. They all seem to have an understanding of the political landscape that exists in Illinois and specifically within the 44th Legislative District. We're getting a lot of phone calls from them. We're getting phone calls from people that support them, and that's great. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what campaigning is, and that's what the political arena looks like.
At this point, how many candidates realistically have a chance at getting the majority of the support?
And that's a very good question. And I hesitate to answer it only because we want to take a good look at everybody. We want to not just take a look at what's on an application that's sent to us, but we want to talk to them. We want to look at other things as well and put all the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, what we know about the district, what we know about politics and how they have to work with each other, what we know about the constituent base here in the 44th and how they'll deal with them, you know, what they do in their job, will it permit them to spend the appropriate time necessary? Those are all things that we have to look at.
What kind of new senator do you want to see? That is, what do they have to stand for to get your thumbs up?
I mean, obviously, we're going to look for somebody that's principled. We're going to look for somebody that is a team player. Obviously, everybody knows that the Republicans are in the super minority. So we're working hard to change that. We're going to want somebody that's willing to put in the hard work to do that. We also want somebody that's knowledgeable about the various issues that exist, not only in Illinois, but here in the 44th.
And how do you anticipate this appointment process playing out? And by extension, what's already happened in the process?
Yeah, there are 5 counties that make up this particular committee. It's actually called the Legislative Vacancy Replacement Committee. I will probably end up being the chair of that because I've got the majority of the votes, the weighted vote. The other 4 counties will all get together, the 5 of us. We had a Zoom meeting the other night. We invited Senate Minority Leader Dan McConkie to that Zoom meeting to talk with him a little bit about the political landscape and what the needs of the Republican caucus are. We've decided that we're going to take applications. We're going to schedule interviews, and then we'll make our decision.
Now, Senator Brady tended to focus on the business planks of the Republican Party more so instead of the social policy aspects of the platform. Do you want to see a social conservative or a business conservative?
I think it's important to have a mix of both. We've got such a wide variety of people that we have to represent within the 44th that it's important that we, you know, that we understand business, but that we understand people's lives as well. And we have to make sure that whoever we put into this position has the capability of understanding. And, you know, what's going on today with the pandemic is a classic example of what you're talking about in your question. Somebody's got to be sensitive to what people are going through. in their personal lives, and they have to understand how it's affecting the business end of these things.
Now, Senator Brady had a great deal of seniority and a leadership position. How will the loss of that standing affect the ability of the new senator, whoever it ends up being, to serve constituents in the 44th?
You know, Brady hasn't left entirely. I mean, he's still around. I believe that he'll probably be available for questions. But yeah, I mean, this person is going to be new. This person will have to hit the ground running, but there are a lot of great people down in Springfield that will be able to assist and to help and to teach. And yeah, some of it's learn as you go. Brady did a lot of great things during his tenure as the senator for the 44th. You know, we lost a good senator. It leaves us 17 senators now in the Republican caucus in the Senate. So with this, we'll find a good candidate.
That's Tazewell County Republican Chair Jim Rule, who spoke with reporter Christine Hatfield. The committee has set a January 15th deadline for applications for the state Senate seat. For those interested in the power alignment in the district, the Tazewell County Party Chair controls more than 37% of the vote. Sangamon and McLean counties each have a bit more than 20%, and Logan and Menard have lesser shares. This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. Nursing home operators say once the coronavirus is in a community, it's nearly impossible to keep it out of their facilities. Eric Stock reports as the COVID death toll rises at long-term care facilities across McLean County and the country. Some observers say many nursing homes aren't equipped to handle an infectious outbreak.
In late December, the Sugar Creek Alzheimer's Special Care Center in Normal was in the throes of a major coronavirus outbreak. On December 20th, Administrator Crystal Biddle sent a letter to all Sugar Creek families. She informed them a majority of residents and some staff had tested positive for the coronavirus. The letter outlines the severity of the outbreak and what staff is doing to care for residents. That includes frequent COVID testing, close monitoring and keeping them hydrated. 10 people at the facility died of COVID complications. Biddle says that death toll has taken an emotional toll on staff.
We do often have residents here through end of life, and so that's not new to us to have someone pass away, but to have this many tragic deaths is overwhelming and just very hard to cope with.
Nursing homes everywhere are struggling to limit COVID spread. Terry Edens is administrator of the McLean County Nursing Home in Normal. She says the facility was largely COVID-free until November. The site has since had more than 80 COVID positives reported. Edens told county board members at a committee meeting nothing at the county-run home has changed. Staff still follows health protocols, including wearing PPEs.
They're wearing everything. I mean, you know, I'm not sure other than everybody's out and about. So, I mean, it just takes one, you know, to come in, and then it just, we were as flabbergasted as you are. Trust me.
The state reports the county nursing home has had 11 COVID deaths. Edens disputes that. She says the number is only 6. She says others died from other factors.
The numbers that are coming out, I don't know. You know, every day I see the newspaper, and every day I hear the news, and every day I come back in here and say, where are they getting their numbers? You know, are we not counting right? Are we not doing this right?
Nursing homes have banned all non-essential visitors for much of the year, but Matt Reel, chief operating officer at Westminster Village in Bloomington, says employees still need to come and go, so the risk of COVID spread is unavoidable.
They can't work from home, and we can't just set up a computer at a desk. People are coming in 365, 24/7, literally 365, as we're getting close to a year now.
Heritage Health of Normal has had more than 100 coronavirus cases and 15 deaths. Both are the highest in the county. Heritage's Senior Vice President of Nursing and Clinical Services, Becky Smith, says more COVID testing isn't the answer. Everyone is already tested twice a week when the county's positivity rate tops 10%. Otherwise, it's once a week. And she says those tests don't catch every case.
It only takes one employee who potentially has no symptoms. And maybe we don't even, they're not even testing positive, they're not exhibiting any symptoms, to potentially spread that to a resident. And it's not because they have done something wrong.
They've done nothing wrong unless they aren't wearing a mask on the job or flouting other health protocols. Smith says such instances are rare, but they have happened. Smith says the Illinois Department of Public Health has issued minor citations against Heritage facilities outside of Bloomington Normal for not following COVID guidelines. She says state health officials have provided proactive oversight by frequently visiting facilities that have had COVID outbreaks. IDPH also fields healthcare complaints from the public, including this one filed by McLean County Coroner Kathy Yoder, based on what she saw at one nursing home.
The staff member was not wearing their mask, and they were sadly twirling it in their fingers. That makes me sad, and it makes me sad for all the other residents there.
The full scope of IDPH's enforcement of health protocols isn't clear. WGLT submitted multiple requests to speak to the agency. It never responded. Some COVID issues end up in court.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
It's Bloomington Rehab Center. I want to go to the hospital, and they're not letting me go.
Marlene Cohens-Hill was a resident of Bloomington Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. Cohens-Hill called 911 herself several times, asking to go to the hospital when the facility was in the midst of one of the area's first COVID outbreaks in May. She had recently tested positive for COVID-19.
I'm a dialysis patient. Somebody help me.
Well, you said that you've got...
Cohens-Hill was taken to the hospital 2 days later. She died the following day. Her family is suing.
So there's clearly a systemic problem within this facility that was not being addressed.
Chicago attorney Megan Shore filed the lawsuit against Peoria-based Peterson Healthcare, the company that owns Bloomington Rehab. The lawsuit accuses the facility of gross negligence for not taking steps to protect Cohens-Hill from COVID exposure. The suit also references 9 prior health citations against Bloomington Rehab over the last decade. Shore says the problems linked to Bloomington Rehab can be found at nursing homes across the country. She says too many put profits ahead of patient care.
You don't see outbreaks in hospitals. You see them in nursing homes. And you have to ask yourself, why is that? And the answer is because they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not staffing, and they're not using their resources appropriately.
Peterson Healthcare declined to comment on the lawsuit. A spokesperson says the company takes all appropriate safety measures. Nursing home workers do the best they can to keep themselves and the people in their care safe, but they are often understaffed and overwhelmed. That's according to an advocate for long-term care facility residents.
Staffing, I'm sure, has been an issue.
Angie Baker is with the East Central Illinois Area Agency on Aging. She serves as the regional long-term care ombudsman in McLean and 14 other counties. She says many facilities struggle with high employee turnover, and she says low pay is just one factor. She says the pandemic has made the problem worse.
Is it a more visible problem now with COVID? Potentially, but those sentiments have been expressed in many areas for a long time.
Baker says calls to her office haven't been excessive, and most COVID calls were early in the pandemic. Families wanted to see their loved ones, and she helped to facilitate that when possible. But she says generally, people just have questions. Doug Rutter is executive director at Luther Oaks Senior Living Community in Bloomington. He says keeping residents and their families informed is the best way to ease concerns.
The biggest thing that we did right was transparent and frequent communication.
For the first 5 months of the pandemic, Rutter held a daily video conference call for everyone to see. And Crystal Biddle of Sugar Creek Alzheimer's Care Center says transparency provides assurance. That's why she sent that letter giving specifics about how far COVID had penetrated into the facility. She says that at least gives them a fighting chance. I'm Eric Stock.
The Illinois Department of Public Health reports 76 people have died in McLean County long-term care facilities. That makes up more than 60% of the county's COVID death toll. Law enforcement officials and prosecutors say they feel blindsided by a massive criminal justice reform bill introduced by the Black Democratic Caucus in the House. Police say they are shocked and surprised at the timing and sweeping scope of the measure. Here's Police Chief Rick Bleichner of the town of Normal.
You know, after what had happened in Minneapolis, I mean, we were certainly very vocal as law enforcement leaders about wanting to look at change and be involved in change.
Bleichner says police advocates were not an equal player in developing the package. On Friday, the bill dropped without a lot of previous discussion. McLean County State's Attorney Don Knapp says the lack of debate on legislation is a good way to create unintended consequences.
Yeah, it just doesn't pass the smell test. The State's Attorney Association was presented with this 611-page bill with a seeming desire to pass that in 5 or 6 days.
Police agencies say there are good parts of the bill, including provisions to increase officer training standards, qualification requirements, use of force rules, and how to report use of force. But Chief Rick Bleichner of Normal says stripping liability protections from officers will have a bad effect.
It's going to be detrimental. It's going to cost far more money, obviously, for counties and municipalities to have law enforcement, and then it's going to impact being able to hire and retain quality law enforcement officers.
State's Attorney Don Knapp says removing liability protection will force officers to carry individual insurance policies or run the risk of bankruptcy for doing their job. Proponents of the measure say too often bad cops have been able to escape punishment for killings because of the liability shield that public officials have in the regular course of the job. Don Knapp says he also opposes a provision in the package to eliminate cash bail. Knapp says he frames the bail issue as centralized versus decentralized decision making.
Whether cash is the mechanism or some other mechanism is arrived at or used, I like local judges making those determinations based on facts that they're presented for specific cases for specific defendants in front of them versus the state legislature just painting with a broad brush.
Supporters of eliminating cash bonds say money requirements often leave lower income people behind bars before trial and hurt their families and careers solely because they can't afford to post bail. Knapp says in categories of crime that have in recent years changed to automatic pretrial release, the number of people ignoring court dates has also risen.
Since they went to Category A and Category B offenses, it seems like failure to appear have increased.
Knapp also says some smaller jurisdictions have changed rules to reduce the number of people held for months on end before trial on low-level offenses.
After formation of our local Criminal Justice Coordinating Council and the efforts we've made locally to reduce our local jail population, I think that has had a much greater impact.
Supporters of the measure say the inconsistency of bail rules and judicial bail practices between jurisdictions create an unfair system. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Sound Ideas. Touring musician Andrew Blaze Thomas says musicians must adapt to downtime the pandemic has forced on them. The Bloomington-based drummer, who tours the world with some of the biggest blues acts in the country, offers some advice in his new book, You Got the Gig, Here's How to Keep It. In this interview with John Norton, Blaze says the book can be read as a confessional.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to be really vulnerable with this book. I decided to just open up and use my own mistakes as an example of what not to do in this business.
Obviously, the book is written with the idea of that we are in normal times. Musicians right. have shut down virtually since March. And taking in mind the spirit of your book, what advice are you giving musicians during the COVID period?
Well, I look at it like this. It depends on if you have completed your 10,000 hours of practicing your craft. There's a book by Robert Greene, the author of 48 Laws of Power. He wrote this book called Mastery, and he says in the book, you want to practice your craft a total of 10,000 hours to be considered a master at it. If you're a writer, you should be writing. But if you are past your 10,000 hours of practice, and you are a veteran musician, then you should be taking this time to broaden your career. So if you always wanted to start up that YouTube channel, or if you wanted to maybe start teaching or doing some things in the business that you haven't started doing yet, right now is your time.
A lot of advice you're offering in the book seems like common sense, right? Be kind, mm-hmm. be giving, take care of yourself, know your place within the band. Yet that can be very difficult, especially if you're on the road, right? Why is this seemingly such a difficult concept for some?
Because I think that many of us, we watch the Where Are They Now stories or the big rock and roll stories, and we think that abusing drugs and partying is our right as a musician. We believe that before we get into the business, a lot of times we believe that just having a good time and traveling the road is what it's all about. And a lot of us, we missed the big picture on how to make this a business and how to get longevity out of it.
there are also more practical things you talk about in the book, such as money. How important is it for a musician to understand that money side of it?
Oh, that's very important. A lot of times we don't understand what good pay is, or we don't understand that your pay may not be the same as the other bandmates around you. A lot of times we don't negotiate well. You know, it's just a lot of little mistakes that musicians, especially rookie musicians, can make, not understanding the business. And so that's why I wrote this book. I want to really clear some of those things up.
How and when did you learn what your monetary worth is in those situations?
I started to get calls to do better the gigs. When I really started getting the calls to play out of the country consistently, I've been fortunate enough to stay in demand during my career. But what I noticed was when the more in demand I became, the more the gigs would start to overlap. And then once I start to realize that I'm able to turn some things down and the same artists that I turned down call me back in the future, then I know that I'm worth something.
Bloomington-based drummer Andrew Blaze Thomas speaking with John Norton. His new advice book for musicians is titled You Got the Gig, Here's How to Keep It. Thanks for choosing Sound Ideas on WGLT, made possible in part by Bloomington Normal Audiology. I'm Charlie Schlenker. This is Bloomington Normal's Public Media.